take your Bibles, please. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to read a fairly lengthy passage here. We're going to read verses 8 through 20 together. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 20. We'll read responsively. And then I want to bring, honestly, a short but encouraging and exciting message to you. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 20. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, boy, did I mess that one up, sorry, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them, and that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge ye. And then verse number 20, let's read it together. Ready? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Now, Lord, for the next 30 minutes or so, as we lift up the name of Jesus, may you be honored, may your people be strengthened, and may we be encouraged enough to speak the name of Jesus with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have all heard in the news this week about the county clerk in Kentucky, Kim Davis, who has been jailed because she will not sign the marriage certificates for the sodomites. I met Kim Davis's brother-in-law while I was in Kentucky. He also is facing jail time as a county clerk of another county. He has hit the national news circuit as well. And the problem is this, the governor needs to call a special session for the state delegation to get together, and some of the sub-clerks could sign them. Here's the problem with the situation in the state of Kentucky. Even if somebody else signs it, that county clerk's name has to go on that piece of paper. Even though the two couples, so-called, that got their certificates after she went to jail, their certificates are void because she hasn't signed them yet. All of this for two couples. Now, be careful before we get going too far. Kim, as a newer Christian, does not want her name and God's name on an ungodly sanction. God never intended for man to marry man or woman to marry woman. It is for one man, one woman, who were born men, who were born women, to marry each other. All right? Now, the governor has spent untold millions of dollars in special sessions for their state legislature for the casinos, for abortion, and for Obamacare. But he doesn't want to spend too much money because it's the law. By the way, it's man's law, not God's law. And it's not law just because the Supreme Court made it law. Just so you know. You see, he will not because it's Christianity. You say, well, it's the law. She should sign it. Let me ask you a question. Then the mayor of San Francisco should be in jail because he's a harboring city for illegal aliens and will not enforce the law. Why is it that only the Christians should go to jail, not the liberals? Hillary Clinton needs to be in jail and her husband Bill for all their crimes. Hang in there for a second. Our president should be in jail for changing laws that he has no right to change and has no legal authority to change. And about 3/4 of our congressmen ought to be in jail for allowing him to do it. Now, why is it that we must jail the Christians, but it's morally kind to let a liberal disobey the law? My dear friend, the time has come for all of us to stand for Jesus Christ. It is time to stand for Jesus. May I say this as humbly and as kindly and as boldly as I know how? It's not Christianity that's wrong, it's sin that is wrong. Why is it that we only use Jehovah God's name in vain, not Mohammed? Why is it that you can go to work and tell filthy jokes, have filthy things on your computer, and that's okay, but to talk about Jesus, you can't do that? Oh, that's illegal. No, it's not. You still live in America. Now, I don't think that it's right for you to take the boss's time going around preaching and not get your work done. That's called being a lazy rascal, and you're asking your boss to pay you to do God's work. That's not right. But if you're working and your work isn't affected, I've won many of my coworkers to Christ. Say, how do you do that? You keep working and working hard to earn their respect, then you talk to them either after work or while you're working shoulder to shoulder. Now, hang on for a second. It's not Christianity that goes out and kills the infidels that don't believe with them. The Muslims do. And I realize I'm setting myself up. It's okay. I'm ready for it. We don't believe in persecuting who don't believe the same way we believe. Did you know when I knock on doors and tell people about Jesus and they say they don't want to hear about it and they slam the door in my face, I don't go back to my car, pull out a bomb, and blow up their house? Everybody doing okay? I've knocked on doors and people say, oh, I'm Muslim, I believe in Muhammad. I give them the gospel as much as they'll let me, and I turn around and I walk away. Did you know I don't go get a gun and kill them or strap a bomb to some little kid to walk up and blow them up on the street just because they don't believe our way? That's what they do, and that's okay. They're the ones that believe in hate, not us. Now, we are not the terrorists cutting people's heads off for believing in Christ. Let me say this, we are not the terrorists who throw children and women and men into the ocean and let their bodies wash up on shore, and you watch somebody pick up the dead body of a 3-year-old and carry it because that family were Christians trying to leave a country where the Muslims were trying to kill them for being Christians. Makes me sick. But they're okay. We'll make deals so that they can get nuclear bombs. Let me say right here, the name of Jesus makes the devil mad. It makes the world mad. The whole premise of sin is that man can be his own God and does not need Jesus. May I say something to you? You need Jesus Christ. And you don't get saved by any other name than Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus and Mohammed are not the same. Jesus and Lucifer are not the same, Mr. Romney, the Mormon church. Lucifer and Jesus were not brothers. That's bad doctrine. That's wrong. You don't get saved and say, well, we all have different God's names, but they're all one God. No, they're not. We don't need Muhammad to get to heaven. We don't need Confucius to get to heaven. We don't need the statues of Mother Mary and Mother Mike and Mother whoever and Mother Teresa and good night whoever else, Saint Christopher, and I don't know who all the other ones are. There's not a statue in the world that can save anybody. You don't need the Pope to get saved. All this froof, oh, the Pope's coming to the United States. Folks, I wouldn't walk across the street to go see him. He is not the vicar of heaven, he's the vicar of hell. If he believes the doctrine that they're perpetuating, he is sending untold millions and billions of people to hell. By the way, we don't need government dictators to help tell us how to get to heaven either. We need the name of Jesus Christ. This whole nasty world needs Jesus. They need Jehovah God. The farther we get from Jesus, the nastier this world gets. Our forefathers, who some call Ben Franklin an infidel, and by the way, I don't know that Ben Franklin was a saved man, but he believed in God. He believed that God was the creator. And Ben Franklin read the Bible more than most Christians do today. Everybody doing all right? Jesus has been hated by the devil since before there ever was a man. And Jesus has been hated by man for 6,000 years because of our sin. Why is it right for us to hate somebody because of our sin? There is no other name as powerful as the name of Jesus Christ. You want to cause a stir out in the world? Just start talking about Jesus. You can talk about Muhammad. They won't bother you. You can talk about Bill and Hillary and whoever you want to talk about. Nobody's going to bother you much. I wouldn't talk about those in some places. But I will tell you this. You talk about Jesus in most any place and you're going to get some trouble. You say, why? Because there is no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. Now, let me show you some things about the name of Jesus, and I'll be done. Number one, salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By the way, that takes work salvation out of it. You can't get saved by your name. You get saved by his name. You don't get saved because you have a good name. You get saved because he is the name by which you get saved. By the way, Muhammad kills, murders, terrorizes, and persecutes infidels who do not agree. That's not a name that's going to save anybody. Liberals want inclusiveness. And by the way, they say they want unity. They don't. They want unification. Unity means this. Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. I want you and I to be unified in soul winning. Do you believe in soul winning?
Yes, sir.
I believe in soul winning. That doesn't mean, watch this, that Brother Stoltz and I have to have the same kind of bank account, wear the same kind of clothes, have the same things, drive the same car, have the same health care. Having all those things is called unification. Unity means we agree on going soul winning. We agree on a common cause. Your government thanks you. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Your government wants to unify or unification everybody. That's called communism.
Yes, right.
That is called communism. Now, listen to me very carefully. Buddha and Confucius want to come back as dogs, flowers, and mosquitoes, but they don't get anybody saved. I threw the mosquitoes in there just because they irritate me. Amen. Can I tell you something? Jesus wants to give you eternal life in heaven.
Yes.
Why do they hate him? you might be in India and not allowed to herd a cow because that might be your great-great-great-grandmother somewhere. And I'll be honest with you, my great-great-great-grandmother wasn't a cow. Folks, we live in such a stupid world. You can't swat a fly in Egypt because that fly may have been one of your ancestors, and then you're killing an ancestor. Well, I'm going to swat the flies. I'm going to let my dog eat the crickets, amen? Oh, my soul. Government leaders want you to make them God and give them all you have and don't care about your eternity. There is no salvation in any other man, only Jesus. By the way, this makes man mad. If I stood in the Pope's presence and preached this, he would be upset with me. You know why? Because it knocks his position down. Folks, I'm not the issue. Jesus is.
Right.
I have nothing to do with salvation. I'm just the delivery person. Almost every person I win to Christ, I've already given them a track. And I said, hey, look, if it comes between what God says and what the church says, throw what the church says away and take what God says. I believe in the Word of God. I'm not the issue. The church is not the issue. The Bible and Jesus are the issue. See, man's sin makes him want to think that he can earn his own way to heaven. Get back in there. Good night. Couldn't get that thing in there. Man's sin causes us to want to think we can get there on our own. We want to lift ourselves up above Jesus. Oh, I don't need him. Christianity is only for the weak. Well, I hate to tell you, living like an infidel is for the weak. Strapping bombs to your chest and going and killing innocent people is for the weak. Everybody doing okay? So, salvation only comes by Jesus. Then, number two, Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same as in the beginning with God. And verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. By the way, that Word is Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And it's talking about Jesus there. Not only did he author the Word of God, he is the Word of God. You see, Jesus isn't just a name. He's not just a person that was born to a lady in Bethlehem named Mary. He is the living, breathing Word of God. See, he's all through the Word of God. Jesus has been before because he is God. In Genesis, he's the promised seed. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the scapegoat. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent. In Deuteronomy, he's the lawgiver. In Joshua, he's the prophet, priest, and king. In Judges, he is the great judge of the earth. In Ruth, he's the kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the anointer of kings. In Kings, he is the king of kings and lord of lords. In Chronicles, he's the great historian. In Ezra, he's the temple builder. In Nehemiah, he's the wall builder. In Esther, he's the savior of Israel. In Job, he is the great friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In the Psalms, he is the song of the ages. In Proverbs, he is the truth. In Ecclesiastes, he's the preacher. In the Song of Solomon, he's the wonderful lover. In Isaiah, he is wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the street preacher. In Ezekiel, he's the rebuilder of the millennial temple. In Daniel, he's the stone cut out without hands that will someday come back to earth and break in pieces the kingdoms of this earth and establish a kingdom that will cover the earth for 1,000 years. In Hosea, he is the spurned but forgiving lover. In Joel, he is the trumpet. In Amos, he is the one standing upon the altar. In Obadiah, he's the great vision. In Jonah, he is the one buried for 3 days and 3 nights. In Micah, he's the one coming out of Bethlehem, Judah. In Nahum, he's our jealous God. In Habakkuk, he's the burden prophet. In Zephaniah, he's the great counselor. In Haggai, he's the encourager. In Zechariah, he's the great motivator. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness. Watch this. In Matthew, he is the king of kings. In Mark, he's the suffering servant. In Luke, he is the son of man. In John, he is the son of God. In Acts, he's the power of the church. In Romans, he is the dynamite of the gospel. In Corinthians, he's the restorer of the carnal nature. In Galatians, he is the rent veil. In Ephesians, he's our heavenly one. In Philippians, he's our sufficiency. In Colossians, he is the shadow of the one come to come again. In Thessalonians, he is our coming Savior. In Timothy, he is our great appearing God. In Titus, he is our blessed hope. In Philemon, he is the forgiver of the wayward slave. In Hebrews, he is the best of all. In James, he is the fulfiller of the law. In the epistle of Peter, he is the rock of our salvation. In the epistles of John, he is our assurance. And in Jude, he is the one who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And in the Revelation, he is the one coming on a white horse to establish the kingdom on earth, where Jesus shall be King of kings and Lord of lords and rule for 1,000 years. Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Not only is he in every book, he is the Word of God. Folks, can I tell you something? Read about Jesus. Can I tell you something? Memorize his words. Can I tell you something? You ought to take it with you everywhere you go. Can I tell you something? I don't care what they tell you, young people. You can take your Bible to school. It is not illegal to take it to school. By the way, if they tell you it is, call me. I'll go meet with your principal. I'll go meet with your superintendent, and I'll show them exactly what you can do with it. You can take your Bible and put it on your desk every day in school. I don't give a rip what they say about it. I get so upset that we get so intimidated by what people say we can and can't do. Why do we want to listen to ungodly people about what Christians can do? Amen. Can I tell you something? Use it. Yes. Tell people about it. I got on the young people. Hey, did you know you can take your Bible to work? Now, you might not, if you work with machinery, you'd be able to have it sitting right there at your machine. But you can have your Bible. I don't even go hunting without a Bible. And I hunt on private property, but I never know who I'm going to run across. And if I got to shoot them and kill them before I shoot them, I got to tell them how to go to heaven. I'm teasing. I wouldn't do that. Can I tell you something? I've got a couple old New Testaments of mine that are bloodstained. Say why? Because I was reading them and shot a deer and I had blood all over my hands. I take my Bible everywhere. My wife will tell you. If I got in the car and didn't put my Bible in a certain spot, I can drive 3 minutes. Where's my Bible? I'm just in a panic. And I just have it. You say, why? I got to be that close to it. Can I tell you something? Why is it we expect the young people to do what we adults won't do? Why don't you read it at work? You got a lunch break? Read it on your lunch break. By the way, you don't have to worry about a seat. Nobody will sit by you. It's okay. You say, well, I work at a shop. You don't understand. I worked in a machine shop for 3.5 years. Trust me. I understand. I really do. Can I tell you something? I've gone to airports waiting on people. I take my Bible, pop that thing open, and I find a seat wherever I want because people just kind of go whoop, 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 whoop. I was sitting there working one day. Some lady was looking at me. I was working, looked up, and she's just looking at me. I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, is that a Bible? I said, yes, it is. Oh. I said, would you like to read one? Oh, I've already read it. I said, why are you looking at me for reading mine? Well, I've never seen anybody read it in public before. I said, I guess you're not a Christian then, are you? Oh, that didn't go over real well. That was like a lead balloon, buddy. Boom. She got upset. She said, "You Christians are all alike." I shouldn't have done it, Brother Gus. I said, "Well, you infidels are all alike. You judge us." I said, "The only reason it bothers you is because you're not saved. If you got to know who wrote it, you wouldn't be upset. You'd be as happy as I am." She left the area. It was peaceful. I kept reading and working. I wasn't trying to pick a fight. She did. I didn't back down from it. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be worried about what people say. Did you know you can talk about Jesus anywhere? Live the Bible. Lastly, I love this. The devil's so stupid. We think the devil has new tactics. The devil hadn't changed in 6,000 years. Did you know that the world will call you ignorant and unlearned if you believe the Bible? Look at verse number 13, Acts chapter 4. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Oh, you Christians, you're just ignorant. You don't know anything. Well, us Christians know that 2 + 2 = 4 every time, not 5, 3, or 20. We don't have to have new math. They do. We don't have to rewrite history to say what we wanted to say. We believe in the history that was already recorded. The critics and the criticism hasn't changed in thousands of years, just so you know. Everybody doing okay? I was talking to someone recently. They said, "Oh, you have a doctor's degree." I said, "I do." They said, "What college did you go to?" I gave them the Bible college name I went to. They said, "Oh, one of those kind of doctorates, not an earned one." They hit a nerve. They said, "Wasn't accredited." Folks, Mickey Mantle didn't need the Little League to tell him he was a ball player. I don't need the world standard telling me what education is. I got more sense in that little finger than that idiot had in his whole head. Can I tell you something? You can't get education without truth. Otherwise, you're being educated with lies.
That's right.
Listen to this statement. You wonder why socialism can be so rampant in America today, but in the 1960s, we let the communists come in and start teaching in our colleges. And now virtually every public college in America is filled with socialism, and it is feeding the minds of our young people that socialism is right and capitalism won't work. Let me ask you a question. Show me a rich socialist country. You won't find one. They're all bankrupt. Now listen to me very carefully here. I'm for education, but I'm for real Bible truth education. I believe in education. I am not telling you I am the smartest person in the room because I'm sure I'm not. I'm not afraid to say that. I've put my time in. I've studied. I'll promise you this. Some of you do this, and I get encouraged. "Oh, I went and checked out what you said, preacher. I went and looked up what you said. Boy, I didn't know you were really right." I was really right. I know how to study. I know how to think. Can I tell you something? Why do we want to educate ourselves with people that hate God? Why do we want to educate our minds and fill our minds full of things from people who hate God? That's why I don't study false doctrine. I don't study Catholic doctrine and Muslim doctrine and Mormon doctrine and Jehovah's false witness doctrine. And I don't study all these bad doctrines. That's a bad idea, just so you know.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, you got to know how to combat them. You combat them with the name of Jesus and the gospel. If they won't listen to it, shake the dust off and go talk to somebody they will.
Yes, sir.
When choosing between man and man's science and God and godly science. Choose God, not man. Did you know the Bible does teach creation? Did you know there is no such thing as evolution?
Right.
And may I say this, global warming is a farce. And most every other science is a farce. Now, when science agrees with the Bible, science is right. By the way, most scientists really don't believe the wrong way. Be surprised how many of them don't believe what they're told that they have to say. Can I tell you something? I'm going to believe that book over what a scientist says any day. Do you know that God said if you wash your hands and clean yourself and take care of yourself, he taught us sanitary laws to keep us from getting sick? Problems you have in your African countries with some of these nasty diseases is because they're not following what God said about sanitation. God told them in the Bible how to take care of their waste products, how to clean themselves, how to wash their hands, and how to stay sanitary, and they won't follow the Bible. We think scientists, oh, our problem is education. We got to spend billions of dollars to educate people. No, just give them a copy of the Word of God, teach them how to live, and God will take care of the rest. Christians should not want to change the Bible to match man. Man needs to change what man says to match the Bible. Who are you to tell God under what terms you're going to do things? Do you know that man has never changed sunrise and sunset? Do you know that man cannot control the weather? He can't even predict it, let alone control it. By the way, I'm not against education. I'm just against any education. I don't care if it's in a church. I don't care if it's in a lower level school or an upper level school or a college. I'm against any kind of education that is anti-God. Everybody doing okay? God expects us to change to match the Bible, not to change the Bible to match God and match man. Okay? Let's talk about Jesus. Let's take the Bible to work. Let's talk about Jesus at work. Now, let me say this. Don't be stupid. You can't expect lost people to be spiritual. But may I say this? You shouldn't be ashamed to talk about Jesus. Not at all. You ought to look for ways. Let's talk about him at school. Take your Bible to school. Let's talk about Jesus in public. Somebody was at Sheets this morning, and they came back and came to church, and they said, "Boy, so-and-so down at Sheets really likes you, preacher." I said, "Really? Who was it?" And they described who it was. I said, "Oh, I know her." I said, "I'm friendly with her several times a week." They said, "I told them they need to come to your church. I told them they need to come to Grace, and I'm working on them." I said, "Good. I don't go into Sheets every morning, beloved, the preacher is here. Everybody bow and let's pray to start the day." Are you kidding? I'd get shot. There's an old feller about three or four days a week, we're there at the same time. And it's almost gotten to be a race who can open the door for the other one. And he works down in D.C. somewhere. And I'll see him and say, "Hey, got a long drive?" "Yeah, I got to fight the traffic." I said, "I got a long drive too." He said, "No, you don't. You're going down the street." I said, one day, I said, "How'd you know that?" He said, "You're the pastor down the road, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd you know that?" He said, "Your folks have knocked on my door half a dozen times. I got those little blue cards." He said, "I know who you are." That scared me. Folks, let's just talk about Jesus. Can I tell you something? This old nasty world needs a good dose of Jesus. And by the way, the world didn't like Jesus when he was here. They killed him. Miss Davis, Mrs. Davis in jail right now in Kentucky. Thank God she's got enough Christian character to stand up for the name of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to cower? You going to back down? Let's boldly stand for the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Never did I ever think in our world this soon that we would have to take a stand and even face jail time for the name of Jesus. But folks, it's coming upon us. We ought to decide with fervor right now that we'll stand for the name of Jesus.